One, I'd like to welcome you to the February 13th regular Othello City Council meeting. Would you all please rise for a short prayer, a short silent prayer as you ask for blessing upon tonight's meeting and upon this city and the city council as we make decisions. And now will you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. As I move to item 1.4 on the agenda, it's the roll call, and I see that all council members are present. So I will move to item 1.5, citizen input. Citizen input is the segment of the city council meeting where citizens have an opportunity to address the Othello City Council. If there's anyone here tonight who would like to address the city council, please raise your hand. I'll recognize you. You can step to the microphone, and I'll give you up to 5 minutes to address the council on any topic you wish. Is there anyone here tonight who would like to address the city council? Okay, hearing none. I'll move to item 2, which is the approval of our agenda tonight. I'd entertain a motion to approve our agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And we move to item 3 is our consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve our consent agenda?
I make that motion.
Second. Okay, thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And we'll move to our current business, 4.1, oath of office. And I'd like to call Police Officer Rolando Hernandez to the front.
Mayor and Council, Officer Rolando Hernandez recently graduated from the academy. This is his swearing in, and we've also asked for him to be pinned. He's been pinned once before at the academy, but his daughter will be doing it today. Officer Hernandez came to our department in July of 2016 from federal security at Grand Coulee Dam. Prior to that, Officer Hernandez has been in the military for nearly 10 years, and he told me today he's an E6 and he's still in the reserves. He was deployed twice, once to Iraq and another time to Afghanistan. National Guard, I'm sorry. Is it reserves or National Guard? What do you know? National Guard. There you go, because I was National Guard. Yeah. Officer Hernandez is a 2001 Othello High School graduate and a 2006 WSU graduate majoring in criminal justice and sociology. He also holds a master's degree from American Military University in criminal justice and military studies. Officer Hernandez graduated from Bolia Basic Law Enforcement Academy on January 25. He was also recognized for completing an additional beyond the required 1,500 minutes of aerobic exercise while attending the academy. At this point, I think it'd be a great time to swear him in.
Excellent. You want to turn around? Officer Rolando Hernandez, will you please raise your right hand and repeat after me? Aye. Officer Rolando Hernandez.
I, Officer Rolando Hernandez.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And Constitution and laws of the State of Washington.
The Constitution and laws of the State of Washington.
And the Charter and ordinances of the City of Othello, Washington.
And the Charter and ordinances of the City of Othello, Washington.
And abide by the Law Enforcement Code of Ethics. As adopted by the Othello Police Department.
As adopted by the Othello Police Department.
That I will faithfully and honestly.
Faithfully and honestly.
And impartially perform and discharge.
Impartially and honorably discharge.
Let me rephrase that. And impartially perform and discharge.
And honorably perform and discharge.
The duties of a police officer.
The duties of a police officer.
During my continuance as such.
During my continuance as such.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations. I want to welcome you to the Othello Police Department. So I'm going to sign this oath of office, and then I'm going to have you sign. And after I do that, I want to give you a few minutes to address the crowd here and let them know what this experience has been like and what you see as an officer here in Othello. So, very good. It's official.
Yeah, so I just want to say, first of all, thanks for everybody coming tonight. It's been a tremendous experience. I have had an awesome journey to get here. It's incredible how much encouragement I have from my family, from the military community, and from the police department. I can't thank you guys enough for all the support that you guys have offered me. And I've enjoyed this journey. My mom and dad, man, they're just incredible people. I love you guys. My daughter, between military and my police academy, I've been gone a lot, so awesome to be able to come back home and spend time with her. My friends and my family have just been incredible support throughout this process. The assistant chief, I'll tell you what, he's been an incredible man. Sometimes I needed a text message from him and just saying, hey, you got this, and just a little words of encouragement helped me through the police academy. The police department has been very, very busy. The officers on staff, whenever I needed or had a question, they have always gone above and beyond to help me out. And I am very appreciative for that. That's all I have.
Now, Rolando, is your daughter going to pin?
She isn't.
Okay. Maybe could you introduce her to the council, please?
This is Marie Hernandez. She's my daughter. She'll be pinning me tonight. We've been practicing for a while.
Be leaving now too, because they're heading to a school board meeting where his sister is being honored for Teacher of the Year.
Excellent. So this is the month of the Hernandezes, right? Congratulations, Rolando. Thank you.
We need more of.
That's awesome. Angel will move out for just a minute, but I think we'll continue. We're going to go to item 4.2, revision of the City of Othello personnel policy. Wade has some changes he wants to go over. I think they need to be adopted by the council as well, by motion.
Yes, Mayor, Council, as you all know, any personnel policy changes have to be approved by you all. And so we've had a couple of things that we've been working on for the last month or two after the union contracts got approved and after we had a death of our family here in the city hall, as you all know, that raised a glaring issue we didn't know about. So I'm going to talk about that one first, and that is with regards to sick leave. And usually when an employee retires, they get a quarter of the sick leave and compensation, and get, of course, any vacation time they have left also. What we found was that upon death, they don't get that quarter of the sick leave. And in this case, our family member who died had a bunch of sick leave coming to them, and they didn't get to take advantage of it. So based on that, we decided we would try and or at least put it in front of you all to pass a change to the personnel policy so that if, God forbid, this happens again, which we hope it doesn't, then we'll, the employee's spouse or whoever they designate, and they're close next to kin, will get that benefit. So that's the first change. And the second change is, as you all may not remember, we try and reflect for the non-union employees or come close to what the union is getting. So as if you all remember, back in January, we passed the contract for the police officers and for the sergeants and for the dispatch, and that changed significantly their leave. And a lot of that was for retention, obviously, but we would like to, so what I asked for the chief to do then was to get some research for me as far as how we stacked up with other cities as far as non-union employees. So he put that together for me, and so we came up with, it was a more closer to what the cities of our size, a little smaller, a little bigger, have in vacation time. And so that change you see reflected there is what we found that most cities have. In fact, I didn't print this out for y'all, but if you can see the yellow here stacked up in the cities, that's where we fall in the cities that first hire somebody. And what we ask there is to do 96 hours, which will bring us more towards the middle of the pack. Most of the folks start out their employees at 96 hours when they first start. That doesn't include part-time, of course, thanks for bringing that to my attention, but part-timers are prorated on their vacation time, so they would get, you know, that much time, by the way. And then we looked at the next tier, which is from 5 years or 60 months to 10 years, and if you can see, for this chart here, we ranked at the bottom, about two or three from the bottom of what people get across the board for vacation. And so we looked at moving that to 120 hours, which is about 3 weeks. And then we looked at after 10 years, the 10-year point, up to 160 hours. And we ranked about one from the bottom on that to bring us back up to what people normally get at the 6-year point, or the 10-year point, sorry. And that's at 160 hours of vacation per year. The police, you remember, go all the way up after, I think it's 20 years or 15 years to 200 hours. I can't recall, but again, that was more for retention, and we don't have a big retention problem in our other parts of the city. But this is more of a, like I say, reflecting what the cities of similar size, or a little bigger, a little smaller, have. So we ask council tonight to approve this change in personnel policy. Any questions before we move on?
I have a question. For the sick leave, is it possible to retroactive on that so that employee's wife can collect on that?
Yes. Because, and here's the reason why. Because it hadn't been paid out yet. We paid out, the vacation time was paid out at the end of January, and then the way Reed Spencer is.
Yeah, his final paycheck was paid out in January, and then his vacation, sick leave, all of his accruals are going to be paid out in February. So that's at the end of this month, so we're still within policy to do that.
Yes, John.
So my question is, in being in those meetings and in union negotiation committee meetings, didn't we agree to 960 hours of sick leave if the person had accumulated?
That's that's for the police, if they have death in service. Again, that's a retention thing, and since the nature of the beast is, the nature of the job is, they have a much higher percentage of being killed or dying in service. So when we did that for the guys.
So did we not change that on the operating engineers contract?
The operating engineers contract reads they will follow what this what the non-union employees do.
Okay.
So this they'll have the same.
So it's
same
a personnel policy issue rather than a union.
This
issue.
Is yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
So I just want to make sure that the quarter amount of unused sick leave, what could that accumulate to?
Over the course of 30 years at 12 days a year, if they never took sick leave.
So that's 240 hours is a quarter of that. That's the ceiling that's put on the accruals. So that's 240 hours multiplied by the hourly rate of the employee, 240 times 25 bucks.
I'm not looking for financial. I'm looking for hours.
Yeah, I mean, so hours is what he said. So
could it,
so you do the math. We get 12 days a year times however many years the employee has in. Okay, so the absolute max then would be 12 times of 30. Whatever that number. Couple of math. 3.6. And that's not right either because it's
No.
They'll accrue. We accrue sick leave 8 hours a month until we get to the senior 960.
Okay.
So I'm sorry.
Anything beyond
so
that.
It's 96 hours a year times 30. So it could be almost 3,000 if you could do that.
There's no cap on sick leave?
960. 960
is the maximum. There is in the new contracts that we negotiated, 960 was the cap.
So it'd be a quarter of that.
No.
Yes,
but they get 960. If there's a death of an officer based on the new contract, they get the full 960.
This is for a quarter of that. This is for 25% of your.
But there's no cap on this, so it's a quarter of.
Okay, that's why I asked.
So all of the employees that have negotiated in the union contract. Would have that distribute to the non-represented and to the public works employees. Because the public works contract refers to personnel policy.
So what I would want to know, is there a cap on our policy?
I'm looking it up right now just to see.
Or is it just going to be a quarter of whatever they recruit?
It's the cap is 960 hours. That's the maximum.
The maximum you can accrue.
Of sick leave,
960 hours is the max. 960 sick and 200
hours is the max on vacation,
which 100% of vacation is paid out. Then, and then here a quarter of the sick leave is paid out on retirement.
So it would be one quarter of the 960.
Right. Would be the
max.
That depends on how many hours. Right. If I only have 600 hours accrued, then it's a quarter of 600.
I think we checked, Chief. I think we've got what, one employee in the whole city who's got close to 960.
Dave Lemonade.
He's not here, so he's mentioning his name.
That's one of the only ones I would be aware of.
Yeah. And for comparison, Doug Jordan, who's with the city for how many years? 28 years. He had, before he got sick, when he passed away, he had 600 hours, right? 600 hours after using a month and a half worth. So it's. It's an incentive, I'll tell you this, that particular thing is an incentive to not get sick, okay? And that's what it is, because I know when I retired from civil service, I had about almost a year's worth of sick leave. I just never got sick. I lost almost all of it, so there was no incentive not to take it, but that's just the nature of the beast. But this gives our folks just a little bit of incentive to hold on to it.
I'm just thinking of paying him the full value that he has. Why are we designating one quarter? Why not pay him the full value?
It's been one quarter for a long time. That's up to you guys. We can do the whole value, but
sick leave isn't earned.
But this would be a death benefit.
Yeah, this
would
is
be only if somebody dies, or that they would get the full value.
That's for the cops. Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously, just remind, this is like industry standard, is a quarter of the sick leave at that point. I mean, you can, you're the council, you guys make the decision, not us.
Before we make that decision, I want to ask Kelly, you're familiar now with what the council's asking?
Yes.
Do you have an opinion?
No, I mean, from a legal perspective, if you, the council certainly could change the policy to where upon death or retirement, I think what you're talking about is just upon death, pay 100% of the accrued sick leave. From a legal perspective, you certainly can do that.
Okay, so does the council want to do it only upon death or upon death and retirement?
What I would do is do the one quarter upon retirement, and then if a death occurs, then that would be a full amount.
100%.
I like that.
So death and service, yeah, okay. Fine with us.
Because I can't remember anybody else that's...
Yeah, it's
very rare.
It's unfair to the rest of the people. We had a civil service employee just retired. She didn't get, she got one quarter.
Right.
So that would continue on retirement. But if somebody died while working still at the city, I think that's a very generous death benefit, and I think that the family could use it, and I don't think that that's going to happen that often, but when it does, it's definitely needed.
Shows we take care of our own.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll amend this to leave that paragraph or that line number four the way it was at retirement, and then we'll add a number six that says upon death, all the accrued sick leave will be paid to the beneficiary or whatever.
At what?
Death and service.
Yeah, upon death and service, yes.
Yeah.
Up to 960 hours.
Yes. 960, yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, good. Well, thanks. That's
all right. So, council, I need a motion.
I make a motion that based on the conditions that were set forth in the previous reading, that we adopt this
change.
Yep.
Second.
Any further discussion, council? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thanks, Council.
That is retroactive now, right?
It is
retroactive. Okay. Item 4.4 is an interlocal correction detention agreement between the City of Wapato and the City of Othello. Chief? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm out of order. Thank you, Mara. The mayor's out of order today. Let's go back to 4.3. Covenant as to improvements of Robert Reichert, Sr. Yeah, you threw me when you sat down, so
I was so thrown by the thought you guys changed it. I was blown away. So as the agenda memo says, we had a covenant with Bob Reichert for his theater, the addition to his theater. It was done years ago. 12-14 years ago, whatever it was, and the covenant basically said, well, back up, as it says in the agenda memo, when he built that, he put a water line underneath that addition, and that's the main water line, and you really shouldn't be doing that. And so when we discovered that during the inspection, I guess when we gave him the permit to occupy the building, we found that and said, okay, you can do that, but here's the stipulations. And there were several on there. One was if he sold it, one was if he transferred, one was something else, and then the other one was at the expiration of 10 years. That expired last year, and so Bob and I worked on this, went back and forth a couple of times. We talked to Terry, tried to get him to change it. He looked at the expense. He wanted, I guess, transfer to his son, which was the kicker that made him do that, as well as the expiration of 10 years. At the end of the day, he said, well, if we basically hold the city harmless and just leave it like that, and I don't transfer, is that okay if we just do away with 10 years and just leave it the way it is other than that? And that's basically what we're saying now. The covenant will change only in the aspect that we will take away the 10-year time limit and stay that way unless he sells or transfers the property. If he knows that if something happens, it's on him. I had several conversations with him on that. In the interim, it should be fine, obviously, but he knows what he needs to do. We had various reasons for delay between trying to figure out another issue he had, and then the holidays, a couple other things. That's why it's just now coming before council. Questions?
Counsel?
This isn't a fire line that was put under there, right?
It's not really there.
There was a fire line.
It's the main line that goes through the building and actually supplies the fire as well as the water service to the back of the building.
And is Gary okay with that? The fire line being under there?
I don't think so, but I believe you know. They asked to have it removed.
So it has to be on the exterior part of the building, and he's just, he built over the top of that feed line that comes in. So if he has a problem with that line, if it breaks between the outside of the building and the inside of the building anywhere, it's his own, it's on him. And you have a shut-off valve on the outside of the building?
We have a valve out, and right here, just in the entrance of the alley, the alley's been vacated, property owner's still. And the water service is on the back, it's just to make sure that it keeps it fresh. That's where their service is to be built for the test.
Okay, any other questions?
Should we approve the attached revised covenant, Counsel?
And Kelly has looked at it, by the way, so.
Yeah, I've reviewed it.
Okay.
No problems.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Chief, 4.4. And 4.5.
First, I'll go with Wapato. We have currently two active jail contracts. This actually, I'm sorry, with the Wapato contract, this adds a third. Our booking with Adams County is about $74, $75 a day for misdemeanor offenders. Both of these contracts with Wapato and Toppenish are for $40 a day, and they'll, under certain conditions, come and pick them up. In Wapato's case, if the inmate has more than 20 days, they'll come pick them up and they'll transport them to Wapato. So it's a agreement that I am recommending to council. Mr. Conkright has reviewed it, as has Wapato's attorneys, and passing back and forth, this is the final copy. So we would ask for your approval.
So it's $40 a day, and they pick them up, the transportation's included?
Yes.
Or do we have to pay for the transportation?
No, they include the transportation. If we have an inmate under 20 days, then we can pay $200 for them to come and get that person. And my position would be is, I mean, if I'm looking at overtime, having to drive that person down and an officer down and back, it may actually be worth having them come get the inmate.
But Toppenish doesn't charge that, though, right?
Toppenish does not charge us, but we negotiate with them on a case-by-case basis. Whether or not they'll come and get them and how many days they have. So they are, Toppenish is asking for an increase of their rate from 35 to 40, and which is, they're both very fair. Both of them use the same medical facility. We would probably lean towards Wapato more because they have an on-site nurse that comes in to help reduce medical costs, because the medical costs can really get out of hand for us in these misdemeanor inmates.
Are they set up where they can handle quite a few in the Wapato Toppenish area?
Toppenish, I think, has about a, and I'm just guessing here because it's been years.
Right.
I think Toppenish is about a 30, 35 bed, might be a little less, where Wapato used to be able to handle upwards to 80. I think they handle less than that now because the new chief wants to keep it safer. We also, our other contract is Sunnyside. That's a 96 bed jail.
All right.
And I'll just say I really enjoy having other people manage our inmates, so I'm not managing the jail.
I'll make a motion to approve the interlocal correctional detention agreement between the city of Wapato and the city of Othello.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we're going to do Toppenish.
Same.
No, the motion was just Waffen
Hill. Two different points, so.
Yeah.
I heard two.
We talked about the city of Toppenish, but I don't.
So Top, you know, again, Toppenish, we've covered that. We've been using them for the past year. We've had great luck with them, and our recommendation is to approve this one.
Entertain a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second. Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Chief. Now, item 4.6 is a resolution for park and rec fees, and Amy Hurlbut Valdez has some information for us.
Good evening. The information I have for you tonight is identical to the information we discussed at the last meeting. This is just the formal ask for a motion to add the baseball and softball fees and individual weekly vendor fee for Lions Park Athletic Complex. Do you have any questions about any of that?
Just one.
Yes,
the sir. Those fees there,
mm-hmm.
Those are a field use fee or like?
These softball registration fees?
Well, those are registration fees.
Correct.
Okay.
So that's what each player is paying to be in.
There we go. Okay. And yeah, after we do this, I do want to ask you some questions about the process going on.
Okay.
But let's stick to the business.
And we did mention previously, but this $50 weekly fee is in addition to the business license fee in order to operate in the city limits. So they would have a business license fee for an annual charge of $80 and then $50 per week, which if you break it down into Little League, we're open for 6 days of the week. It's just over $8 a day they've got to pay to be there. So it seems pretty affordable.
I have a comment about that. $50 a week is not fair market value on that. It's not. That fee should be $50 a day. I know we talked about it last week, but I think all the fees on here are great, except for I can't support that $50 a week. It's just not market value.
Well, we didn't want to price them out of doing something at first, and when we can revisit it next year and get some feedback.
Right now, we only got one vendor.
Yeah, there's only one vendor.
I understand that, but it's still $50 a week is not market value on that. And that, as far as I'm concerned, is gifting that spot.
No, gifting it would be giving it to them for free.
Gifting it would be giving it to them under market value.
Yeah, but when they're only going to be there and it's not at like an event, because a lot of the things you were paying for were events that you were going to, right?
Right.
Where there was an actual event, but where there's a big crowd coming in.
This is also going to cover all of our tournaments. This is covering, correct? It covers everything.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'd like to leave it like it is with a $50, and then Corey.
I would like to revisit it, you know, next year.
Next year.
Yeah,
next
see
year
how,
we'll look at
see
it
how
and
we're
say,
doing.
Wow, that wasn't enough.
Yeah, we may want to add on, you know, that it's $50 a week and then add on a specific fee for when there's actually an event there. But I would say we start with this and then revisit it at the end of the season.
Is there any other discussion on it?
I feel 50 is kind of low as well, but 50 a day is a lot of money too. We started at 100 bucks, and we got it down to 50. So to
make sure. Every place that I went to was $75 to $125 per day. I think $50 a day, especially for the tournaments, is really cheap. But that's.
And it's not like they're going to have a tournament every week.
Every day.
Every week.
But they're not going to be coming during the week. The only time these guys are going to show up, I'm betting on, is during weekends for the games and during tournaments.
Well, were they all there all summer last year?
The Snow Shack, who is the primary business that's
vendor.
Interested in coming, was there every day for Little League. And was for the three tournaments that I hosted, they were there for 5 out of the 8 days.
For the tournament?
For the tournament, correct. Although We did have a shirt vendor come in last year, and there was nothing in place for them during the Chicano State Men's Softball Tournament. Othello Sporting Goods came and sold shirts there, and I don't know how profitable their sales were. I was this high into the concession stand, so I barely came up for air out the side of there, but I do know that they did have a vendor. That was the only other vendor I've had any experience with that's had interest in coming into the park.
What if they set up outside of the fence area? What are we doing there?
They can't set up on Main Street, and they can't set up outside of the park. I mean, Becky's probably a little bit better at this than me.
When we've had soccer games and Little League, we've had the taco trucks set up along the road where the trees are at.
Set up.
That's public right away. It's not Main Street. They're not allowed on Main Street, but they have parked around the park. And within, this is their mold vendors categorized as that they move around. They have been allowed to park outside of the park. And they do have their business license of $80 a year. Because they're not in the complex. Once they become inside the complex, if we told them it was up to the person who had rented the complex at that time, if they were allowed in there or not. So it's up to not us, it would be up to us if we allowed them in there or not.
Well, Kelly, would we be considered gifting that at $50?
Well, I guess the short answer is I don't know. And the reason I don't know is I don't know what fair market value is of that space. But more than that, you don't have to, it's not as if you charge less than fair market value, then it's gifting. You just have to charge something that's significant, not, you know, purely de minimis. So, you know, I would have to know, to answer that question fully, I'd have to know what is the fair market value of that space, and it's for us to be able to look at that number, that $50 a week, and determine if it's de minimis. Mm-hmm. If you ask for my gut reaction, which I wouldn't rely on, but it would be no. I don't think it's gifting because they are having to provide something. But to give a definitive answer on that, I'd have to have more information.
Well, we don't even really know what the fair market value on the space is at this point because this is the first time we're doing this.
No. But to answer that question, though, it would take a little bit of research onto the exact legal standard, and then I would have a better idea of what that would be. And then we could also look at what other cities do across, you know, of similar size and similar position throughout the state. That would be a relatively easy thing to do and determine that.
Is this something then that we should maybe hold off on that part and bring it back once we determine that, or?
Well, I think that would be out of abundance of caution, that would be the prudent thing to do, because we could certainly have an answer to council on that for the next council meeting.
Let's leave it at $50 because we were charging $100 for the whole season, and then we'll revisit it next year, like you said.
You know, the other option I would be okay with is if you want to go $50 a week for the majority of the year, other than tournaments or any major events, but yeah, $50 a week if it's.
Well, like 4th of July, they have to pay.
$250.
4th of July, the Chamber of Commerce is the manager of the facility, so the Chamber of Commerce sets the price for the vendors to be in the park for their one-day event. They charge $250 per vendor.
Which is actually reasonable, yeah. Considering what they charge in other places and how much business they just
so
presumably
if,
get.
So if we did it as a weekly vendor fee for $50 for the times when there's not events, and then
then maybe the easiest thing to do would be come up with a price for the city youth baseball and softball season, and then a event fee for otherwise.
Okay, so I want to clarify a couple things. Number one, Corey. You've looked at this. You've looked at this agreement. Is the only objection you have is to the 50 a week on the? That's everything else. You're fine.
Everything else. Yeah.
Anybody? Everybody else is fine with everything.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what I'm trying to figure out is, we are they and they are us. We're now the league. We're, the city is now, so we don't going to charge ourselves, are we?
Well, no, we'll be operating the concession stand, so we'll be operating the main source there, and each vendor will sign a non-compete clause where they won't sell anything that the concession stand is selling, because that would be fruitless.
Yeah.
This is for all the other vendors.
Right. Okay. All right, so go ahead, Jean.
I was going to say, can we pull just that portion of it out, approve the rest of it, and then maybe have Kelly and...
I mean, we've already started, yeah. The thing is, we've already collected fees for this youth baseball and registration. We kind of need don't we kind of need to get that? Or is it okay to just let it slide until we come back in 2 weeks? And
well, what I would do is, I mean, I would adopt it tonight in part. And if you have a reservation on the $50 for the vendor, weekly vendor fee, have my office take a look and see if that is a de minimis amount, or if it's so de minimis as to constitute a gifting. And then you can have some comfort on that side of it. But if everybody's in agreement on the other parts, I don't see any reason why you couldn't pass those provisions and then reserve that $50 fee for consideration 2 weeks from now.
Shouldn't we vote on it as it is, and if it passes, it passes. If it don't, then we revisit it.
I'm sitting here waiting for a motion. So if you got one, make it.
I'll make a motion to pass it as it is.
Is there a second? It's
a complete deal.
I'll second that motion.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor of Eugene Bain's motion to pass as is, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
For the record, Corey Everett voted nay, and it passes 6-1. Thank you, Amy. Now,
I do think we should revisit it. Maybe it should be
Okay. We'll revisit it. Make note of that, Amy, that after the season's over, we'll revisit it during the budget season, which Larry McCourty said about 10 minutes ago.
Okay. Will do.
And Gina just reminded us. So now I want to have you characterize for the council how this change and this process has gone, and the enrollment and everything. So can you kind of summarize that?
I can, but I feel like I'm sort of spoiling all the good news because we're going to have one more day. But I will, since you're putting me on the spot.
Yes.
So we just on Friday wrapped up 10 days of registration. Registration was open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday here at City Hall. And then we had free evening registrations on a Thursday, from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. We ended up with 394 players registered on Friday, which is exactly where we want to be. We still have Mattawa's registrations waiting to come in, which is estimated to be about 50 players. They should have about 5 teams, one in each category, with the exception of the little peewee guys that don't really want to make the trip. Mattawa brings together their own teams, so they practice in Mattawa with their own coaches. They are also responsible for getting their own sponsors. So on Wednesday, when I meet with their representative, he will deliver to me a stack of papers for this team with this coach with this sponsor, and he'll have all of that work lined out for us, which is very nice. Some of the changes that we made to the divisions: we removed the rookies division from boys baseball. We made the decision to take pitching machines out of the league all the way around after doing some research about player development and how to increase player development within the league. Doing that, there was a little bit of, I guess, a lot of hope that it would help grow the majors category, which is two divisions higher. We've recently had four teams competing against one another, and they play the same team three times because there's only four teams, and it's the highest level of competition for the boys in baseball. And we were hoping that by taking the rookies division out, it would put more kids into minors, and then those minors kids would move up into majors earlier. And we were looking for that development in the next couple of years, but this year we actually ended up with, it looks like, six teams instead of four teams in majors. So we saw the increase that we were looking for right away, which is very exciting. The 394 players puts us at 34 teams, and after today, Nina Gonzalez, the Parks and Recreation Assistant, and I put together all of the teams. We do have one more late registration for the last chance because of some inclement weather that we've had over the last couple of weeks. It was difficult for some folks to be able to get out of their houses. I'm not sure exactly what to expect. We did have a couple visitors down at Public Works today with three or four birth certificates each trying to register, and I've had a few inquiries over Facebook from my personal account of what they can do and what kind of end they could have to register their kids after the fact. So I'm kind of crossing my fingers and hoping for 20 or 30 more players, and that'll put us right at about 500 when it's all said and done, which is a pretty substantially sized league. We've had a very warm reception from the community, which is something else that I was really looking forward to, but also in the back of my mind was a little concerned about just because of the way the transition happened and just people's general aversion to change. Parents have come in who have said that if the fees weren't what they are, including the uniform package that we're offering, that their kids would have never been able to play before. And it's been really exciting, and it's especially with the little kids, because parents will make that, they'll afford that for the older kids, but they sort of feel like for 4 and 5 year olds, sometimes it's a waste of money, or what could they possibly get out of it? But because we've been able to offer such a reasonable price, they're able to let their younger children play, or kids that they would have never considered playing before. It's been very exciting. Rigo has helped out quite a bit. He was here on Friday out in the lobby, and he came into my office today, and he just said, I had so much fun on Friday talking to parents and showing them their uniforms, and the kids were excited, and the parents were smiling, and it has just been an overall good experience. There's been a couple of parents that have been disappointed that there's no more special favors. So that's the one thing, I guess, when you're a private organization that's running the league, that you know, you can make those special favors and say, oh, you've got a really great six-year-old. We're going to go ahead and move them up in the league. I've been pretty hard-nosed about it. I'm kind of a rule follower. So it's been a little bit of a shock for some folks that have come in and asked for a special favor, and I've told them no. But of those people, two of them out of probably the 10 have decided not to play in the league. And so I think for the sake of holding up the integrity of the league and making it fair for everyone across the board, we made the right decision. And I do believe that those children will return next year when they don't have to play t-ball and they can actually go into the division that they want to by age. So both of those parents left and just said, we understand, but we just don't want my child to play t-ball again. So I would say there's been very little dismay.
Excellent.
Is that what you were looking for?
Yes, it was. It was perfect. Thank you. Any questions of Amy?
So when's your next sign up?
Tomorrow night. From 3 to 6, and it sort of stinks because it's on Valentine's Day, but I just didn't want to get put a whole week behind and make it later in the week, and we have a parent advisory committee meeting on Wednesday to talk about the numbers and talk about the coaches. So we're looking for 14 more sponsors and 10 more coaches, which I don't know, maybe to you that sounds like a lot, but to me, I was just very pleased that going into registration, we were already out of 34 teams had a majority of the coaches and over half of the sponsors already in the bag. And so now it'll be easier to go back and say, we've got a team of kids that need you to sponsor, you know, or something like that, as opposed to sort of the hypothetical teams that are out there. So I'm just cautiously optimistic as always, but feeling very positive.
Did you send out information to the previous sponsor?
I did. And I know I sent one to you guys. It's okay. You'll get a personal visit from me.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Amy. I know this has just been a tremendous effort to start from scratch, and I'm very pleased. Council, I think they're very pleased with your Herculean effort. We're glad that Nina seems to be working out, and she certainly understands baseball as well as anybody in the community, is, you know, having, you know, won a state championship for the high school team. She knows the baseball community in this town as well as anybody, and so we just want to thank you for all your effort, and probably as we go along and have, you know, when you're going to have other opportunities to be in front of the council, we might ask you again.
That'd be welcomed questioning.
Okay. Council, any questions of Amy?
Can you see me afterwards?
Send you one?
Can you see me afterwards?
Yes, I will.
Thanks. What is the sponsorship fee?
It's $200 per sponsor for a team, and the $200 is basically being put towards the cost of the uniform so that we can offer the hat, shirt, belt, pants, and socks, which the most frustrating part for parents was the fact that they didn't know they needed to know their kids' pant size when they got here. And then when they found out they got pants, they're like, what? They get pants too? Let me call my wife and see what size pants they get for my kid. So with the $200, what the sponsor is going to get for this year, we did make a change in what the sponsor gets. The sponsor will get a 4x6 custom banner, similar to the ones that you see on the chain link fence at the 4th of July. Gracie Garza at Signs of Grace here in town is going to be providing those banners for us. And she's working on the exact artwork right now, but the banner will say something like, this team was sponsored by the business's name and their logo. And then on the bottom, it'll say, don't forget to support your local sponsors. So the kids will walk in that in the opening day parade with that banner and then the team behind them. And then they'll be grommeted with the carabiner clips, and it'll hook on the fence during each one of their games so the coach can put it up. And as people are walking by, they'll have a pretty good view of who's sponsoring what teams in the community. The previous method was having the logos put on the back of the shirts, and we did go back and forth several times on what to do with sponsorship. But we decided to make a change for the better of the financial side, because the banners should only have to be made once every few years, and the shirts, they would be paying for that cost every year, and it would eat up about half of the sponsorship just to have the logos put on the back of the shirt. So it's not really putting that sponsorship's money to the best use if we're just slapping it on the back of a shirt. So we're hoping that sponsors don't feel too disappointed. I've only had one person that felt very strongly about the backs of the shirts, and everybody else has been very pleased that they still sponsored. So
that was a good change.
Good, I'm glad you like
really
it.
Really, very good.
Yes.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Council. So now we'll go to item 5, unfinished business. Do we have any unfinished business tonight? Okay. Item 6 is new business. Is there any new business to come before the council this evening? Okay. I do have an announcement. The city's own Debbie Kudernoff was named the Chamber of Commerce Civil Servant of the Year. She will be receiving that award at the annual chamber banquet on Friday, February 24th. Tickets are on sale and available from the city administrator / MC for the program. And there's also a reverse raffle. It's going to be a lot of fun. Instead of having a, you know, a public auction like there's so many of around town, this year they're going to do a reverse raffle so that the winner, Wade, why don't you explain the reverse raffle?
Yeah. Reverse raffle is just, you know, a regular raffle, the first one drawn wins. Okay. Reverse raffle is the last person draw wins, so there's a lot of anticipation. Along the way, there's other prizes drawn, so the first ticket drawn will get a prize. And then every, 75 or so people will get some kind of prize as we move forward. And then the next to the last person will get the prize. And so the last person will get the grand prize, $1,000. And we'll call the last 5 people up there that have numbers in there or have tickets in there. And everybody asks if they want to split the pot or proceed forward. It's a lot, I've been to one of these before, know the place, it's a lot of fun. And this is just to remind everybody, this is the chamber's only fundraiser for the year. And this is how we raise funds. We make very little on the dinners, so we encourage everybody to come and support Debbie for one, and all the other people who got selected. The Teacher of the Year, the Citizen of the Year is Dr. Bunch. You guys didn't hear that. And Business of the Year is Sloan Leather Insurance Agency. So please come out and support. It'd be great to support the chamber. Trying to do great things, and can't do it without money. So, come support us.
Yep, that's 2 weeks from this Friday, the 24th at Bethel Spanish Assembly of God Church.
Dinner tickets are $30 and raffle tickets are $25. Mm-hmm. And we're also going to have a salad auction there too, so we'll auction off the table centerpieces, and there'll be some pretty good stuff at the salad auction as well. But Raffle is the main event, so to speak, and of course, recognizing all the citizens of the business, everybody else is the other part of it. And it'll also be a head sales game run by the police chief again. So that'll be fun. So we're trying to make this a lot of fun, more fun than it's been in the past, although the past did some good. This is going to be a fun, hopefully a fast-moving event. And catered by the golf course with a good tri-tip and chicken. Good.
All right. Having no further business to come before the council tonight, I'll adjourn our meeting tonight at 7:26 p.m.
So I...